I want to talk to you this morning about going through the storm. Look at me. When you make up your mind that you're going to serve Jesus, when you make up your mind that you're going to walk it out with God, when you make up your mind that nothing's going to hinder you from becoming the person that Jesus wants you to be, you're going to enter into a storm. There's going to be things that happened in your life that have probably never happened before. A lot of people think, well, just come to Jesus, you're going to have pretty easy going and everything's going to go. I want you to understand that when you come to Jesus, sometimes your situations and your problems just begin. Because Satan wants you back where you were. So people are going to misunderstand you. Relatives are going to think you're nuts. Family may disown you. You may walk this thing out and you may really just feel alone. But understand, you're never alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we've been teaching on disciples, being a disciple. We've been talking about the power of God. I want you to understand that many people who claim themselves to be Christians don't believe in the power. They don't believe in the whole work of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in prayer for the sick. They don't believe in a lot of stuff. And so when you get anointed by the Holy Spirit, they're going to look at you like people looked at Jesus. How many of you understand that as Jesus walked the face of the earth, in many people, the religious leaders' minds, he was a weird duck. He was out of his element. He wasn't the Messiah. The Messiah wouldn't come riding on a donkey. The Messiah wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. How many understood? He touched the Samaritan woman. And so as you begin to walk this out, and I don't like this term, but it almost has to be, you have to become thick-skinned. You have to come to a place where you know what your purpose is. Remember, God designed your life. That's what purpose means. Your life has been designed by God, whether you step into it or not. That's your choice. You can't be affected by everyone who wants to put you down. Isn't it great when you go out and get drunk, people think that's great. You turn to Jesus and you think you're nuts. Hello? It's really true. And it's amazing if you come out of a family that's drinking and running around and doing the things that's going on. When you come to God and you get delivered and the oppression is broke and you're free and finally you become the person that you know God wants you to be and God wants you to be, people think you're weird. Well, what do you do for fun? Well, I just know when I'm having fun now. You know, I know when I go fishing if I really catch a fish. I'm not swimming after them like I normally used to do with getting drunk and falling off the boat. True stories. Every May, every Memorial Day, I wasn't pastor then, but I'd get drunk. Thank God I wasn't pastor. I'd be drinking too much communion. And I'd fall in the brink. I'd fall in the lake in northern Minnesota, up in Canada. In May, those lakes are cold. I was wondering why that drunk didn't last very long. That cold water just sobered you up. So we come to a place where we need to understand that every storm you go through is not a crisis. I sat with a man here a while back, and he was coming in for coffee each morning, and finally I looked at him and said, you know, everything you go through isn't a crisis. You make it a crisis. You good at that? That one fits, Loretta?
Used to.
Good deal. Used to. And so anyway, this storm is a little bit different. This storm was brought about by Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. John the Baptist had been killed. He fed the 5,000. Now in verse 22. After he fed the 5,000, after they collected the 12 baskets full, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. How many know what omniscient means? How many don't care? Omniscient is like your wife when you're trying to hide something from her. They know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They got amazing insight into what they should know nothing about, but they know. Husbands, listen to your wife when they tell you something. They got good insight. Jesus knew all things. He's omniscient. He knew when the disciples got in that boat, there was going to be a storm. But he sent them there anyway. Jesus didn't do anything without a purpose. And so, Jesus made his disciples, or he encouraged his disciples to get in the boat, go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And we had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now that when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus simply said, "Come." And when Peter had walked out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Okay. That one hit me. I'm not going to preach on this. But if it just took a little faith to step out of the boat and walk on the water, what could Peter done with great faith? Think about it. Jesus looked at him and said, "You have little faith." Peter already got out of the boat. It's more than probably I would have, more than 11 other guys did. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to talk to you about remembering. Now, the Bible says, forget your past, forget the evil things you've done, forget all the things that Satan would want to condemn you with or somebody would want to condemn you with. But there's some things we got to remember. Say remember with me. Number one, remember that when you're in the storm, Jesus is leading you. As believers, when you are in the storm, Jesus is leading you. And don't be so anxious to get out of the storm, you forget why you're in it. Now, I'm not talking about going and doing some dumb things and blaming God for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your daily walk, your daily life, your path that you walk for Jesus, and suddenly things start going wrong. You ever have those days? Do you ever have those times? Do you ever get out of them? But as we're walking, remember that Jesus is leading you. Jesus told the disciples, "I want you to get in the boat, and I want you to go across the sea." Now listen, when Jesus tells you to do something and you're going to see this happen, you're not going to fall apart halfway through it if you're going to walk with him. Jesus knew that they're not only going to get in the boat, but they're going to land on the other shore. How many understand that? You know, our problem is sometimes when we start doing what God tells us to do before we see the results, we quit. Jesus looked at them and said, I want you to go the other side. Get in the boat. That meant, because Jesus said it, they were going to get to the other side. Regardless if a typhoon would have hit, regardless if a hurricane would have hit, they were going to make it. Look at me. No matter what Satan is going to try to do to you, you're going to make it. You say, what are you talking about? It's Satan's job. That's his whole goal, is to destroy you. He hates you because he hates Jesus. And so his purpose is to bring you down. His purpose is to start sowing things in your minds and your hearts and your life where you even come to a place of questioning, why am I doing this? Why am I serving God? You know, it's like the book of Malachi when the people begin to ask, is there any reason to serve God? What's in it for me? If you could see into eternity, you'd see what's in it for you. But too often, and we're going to talk about it, too often we just see the storm. If you're a person that majors in problems instead of solutions, if you're a person that majors in what's wrong instead of what's right, your life is going to be a constant storm. And you really need to hold on to Jesus and have him change our minds. Because God has your whole life planned out. And he's got you by the hand. Just like he reached out and took Peter's, isn't it interesting? Peter didn't reach out and take Jesus' hand. Jesus reached out and took his hand and lifted him up. Now let's look at that. I cried out to the Lord, the psalmist says in Psalm 40, and he inclined his ear, or he listened to my cry, and he reached down and he took my hand and he pulled me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, and many will hear and many will praise and see. Many will see, not hear. Many will see it and glorify God. God not only pulled you out when you were going down, he put you on a solid rock and he established a path for you to walk in. Now, some of us took a long time to get in the right path. But there's a path for us to walk. Remember, always remember, when things look dark and the thunder seems to be roaring and the lightning is striking in a sense of emotion, that God has led you. He'll never let you go. The Bible says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest doesn't come by more abundance. Rest doesn't come because everything worked out the way you designed it to. Rest comes when you fit into God's design and God's plan, and God is leading you and you're following. This is not a two-headed monster. Listen to me. This is not a two-headed monster, the body of Christ. It's one head. It's Jesus. And we follow the leader. And he leads us home. This is not your home. You may have a wonderful home. You may have everything going together. This is not your home. We're passing through. And we're passing through under the leadership of Jesus Christ, and he's walking it out for us. Number two, when you're in the storm, keep focused. Remember, when you're in the storm, to keep looking at Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the Father. When you begin to lose focus, you sink. Isn't it kind of interesting that when Satan came to Eve, Eve looked at the fruit? That look destroyed her. Listening to Satan and taking a look destroyed her. Peter was fine. He stepped out of the boat. He began to walk on the water. He was looking at Jesus, but something distracted him. The day that we live now, you cannot believe what happens to you in 1 minute when you lose focus. You start your day with Jesus, you end your day with Jesus, and you walk the rest of the 23 hours in Christ. Peter, and we're going to talk about it in point three, Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And blah, 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 blah. Yeah, don't think, Loretta. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we're looking at the problems and not the solution. Some of you folks, better say it, I love pastor fearing. If you walk out of here mad and have pastor for lunch, you're in trouble. Some of you think too much. And some of you, while you're thinking, you don't control your thoughts. You just let them go. Your thoughts are like a runaway train. You never rein them back in. And so we start thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and trying to solve things and work things out and figure things out, and we are losing focus. And all of a sudden we begin to sink. You and I must, say must, constantly be focused on Jesus. Do you know something? If he's leading us, he's taking the brunt of the hits. Ray mentioned last week as he gave a testimony that he walked point. How many of those point guys survived? Ray was a good ducker. But when you're walking point, you have more of a chance of getting shot than the people behind you because you're the first one coming. Jesus is taking the hits. Oh yeah, we feel it. But he's leading us. We're following him. And as we do that, he will lead us through the storm. He will guide us through the storm. The storm will be there. But I can do what through Christ? I can do all things through Christ. All things. It's kind of interesting in Acts chapter 3. As Peter and John comes to the lame man who's at the gate beautiful, and the lame man says, basically, give me something. I need help. And Peter said something that maybe you don't see when you read that. And I saw it this morning as I was kneeling down here praying and reading the word. Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Why? Jesus was there in Peter and John. Even though the man was looking at Peter and John, Peter and John had his attention so Jesus could do what he was going to do. How many of you have spent the last few months just looking at your finances? Or how many of you spent the last few months looking at your sickness? Or how many have looked at a marital situation that's not good? Or you've looked at all kinds of things and we suddenly get overwhelmed with the things of the world and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and all this stuff. And pretty soon, we can't believe that we changed that much. We can't believe we're talking the way we're talking. We can't believe that every negative conversation, we're one of the leaders. Why? Because we lost our focus. We're looking at, and we're going to talk about it, situations and storms and problems and issues. And all of a sudden, the things that we should be treading upon have become a mountain. And we don't see Jesus because there's a mountain in our view. It's a mountain of circumstances. That's when Jesus said, speak to the mountain. We've been building the mountain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've been building the mountain, and every day the mountain becomes bigger because we talk ourselves into a bigger mountain, a bigger situation, a bigger obstacle, a bigger problem. We don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if we see a light at the end of the tunnel, it's a train. We keep building it and building it and building it and building it. And Jesus said, there comes a time you speak the mountain and you, by faith, say, mountain, get in the sea, and you begin the level ground. We prayed for Marty this morning. He came in. He has a growth on his pancreas. Wasn't feeling well, but came for prayer. How many realize physical things can become a mountain? And the bigger you let it grow, the bigger they become. Peter was fine. And it wasn't January when he was walking on the water. See, how do you know? Because there were waves. There's usually not waves that you see in January. I can walk on the water in January without a whole lot of factors. I can drive on the water. Ray won't let me drive his pickup, but I can drive on the water. He's smarter than that. But as long as Peter stayed focused, he was walking. But what happened? The Bible says this in point number 3. Remember, and I want to read this one to you. Remember, in the storm, don't be overcome by doubts and fears. Say this with me. I need to learn to have supernatural thoughts, not just natural. You and I, in the time of the storm, the natural will bring fear. The natural will be doubts. Our minds, as we talked earlier, will be focused on all different kinds of things. And Peter got focused on the storm. It's just kind of interesting. When he's in the boat, it's fine. They were more afraid of Jesus than the storm. When he got in the water, he was more afraid of the storm than Jesus. It's when we're in the boat that the storm doesn't bother us, so to speak. But if we get out and we focus on the wind and the waves and the onslaughts of what's happening, we forget about Jesus and we focus on the storm. If you're new in Christ, or if you're working like I am and growing in Christ and trying to get all the renewed mind done, there are times you cannot trust your emotions. There are times you cannot look at things and say, this is how I feel, so this is reality. Do you hear me? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm getting tired up here. Martha, come on. There are times that you just have to take the Word of God. No matter what you're looking at, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter what the situation is, no matter what your checkbook says or your debit card says, no matter what, there are times you look and you take the Word of God and you say, mind, shut up. And you start feeding the Spirit so the Spirit man renews the mind and then you can make right decisions. Don't be someone today who just suddenly make rash decisions. Ponder the things spiritually that you have to do. Because the doubts and the fears are not a good time to make a choice. When you are going through a time of doubt and fears and spiritual waves and attacks and all the things going on, don't make the choice. Oh boy, one more thing. I never thought about this till just now. Don't let your ungodly friends make decisions for you. Hello? They may have the most wisdom, they may have the most knowledge, they may have degrees behind their name and all the things going on. Make spiritual decisions. You say, what are you talking about? How can a person who doesn't know God have a philosophy about him that's valuable? As we talked about Wednesday night, and we'll be going over this Wednesday night, how can someone that has no understanding of God's opinion be correct about God? Any light bulbs going on? You go down to your coffee club and you listen to people give you their philosophy, and never once you hear the Word of God, God, the Holy Spirit. You don't hear anything about it. You got some harebrained off-the-wall idea that someone thinks is about God. They share it with you and you say, oh boy, I'm going to do that. Hello? When you're walking on the water, don't look down. Look up. When the storm is all around you and you don't know what to do, the best thing is do nothing except pray and get in the Word. Why should I make a decision when I don't know what to do? Why should I say something when I don't know what to say? Do you ever wish you wouldn't have said something? Do you ever wish you wouldn't have done something? Peter did the right thing. When he was sinking, he said, Lord, help! Help me! The best words you can say when you feel you're sinking emotionally into situations you don't want to be a part of, just say, Lord, help me. Help me.
Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Got it.
Do you ever know him to be late? Late in our timetable, not his. Peter wasn't even needing mouth to mouth yet. But Jesus got him up. There are storms ahead of us, folks. There are storms ahead of us, and one of the biggest things to know, you have to know when a storm comes from God or a storm comes from Satan. You need to know the voice of God and the voice of the devil. Here's what the voice of God does. The voice of God in the midst of the storm will bring peace. The voice of God will say, I'm with you. The voice of God will say, you're going to make it. The voice of God will say, I love you. You're my child. The voice of God will say, come unto me. The voice of Satan will tell you this. God never did love you. You're not a Christian. You're going to hell. And why should you trust a God who would take you into that anyway? You got to know the difference, friends. God doesn't take you through a storm to destroy you. God takes us through storms so that we grow and that we mature. And he's always there. Satan takes you through a storm to ruin your life, to destroy you, to kill you, to rob you. In that storm that Satan brings, he will want you to sin and curse God. What did Job's friends tell him? That was his wife. Job's friends told him that he was a sinner. The reason you're going through this is that you're a sinner. Listen to me. Most of us haven't committed sins when the storm comes. Many of you, because you're going to grow, as Kirk and Marnie were saying, many of you, because God wants to empower you, many of you, because God wants you out there laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, destroying the works of Satan, Satan wants to keep you so preoccupied and so self-centered that all we begin to see is me. Me. Don't take possession of all your problems. Don't start talking about my sickness. If you want it, you can keep it. Don't start talking about my lack. The Bible says this, friends, even with money, Jesus became poor so we could be what?
Rich.
Rich. Spiritually, financially, Jesus died. And I was reading again this morning, we live sometimes on the wrong side of the cross. We live with a suffering Jesus, a crying Jesus, a weeping Jesus. God wants you now to live on the other side of the cross, the resurrected Jesus, the victorious Jesus, the powerful Jesus, the Jesus who has the keys of death and hell. We live behind that. I want you to tell something. Can't even say it. I want to tell you something. Jesus is not up in heaven weeping. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus is up in heaven rejoicing with the angels for all the people that are daily coming to him and find salvation. He's a victor. He's not a victim. And right now in your life, the storm may seem heavy. You may be thinking thoughts that aren't healthy. You may be going through things that are just absolutely radically tough. Don't throw in the towel. Jesus will walk it out with you. Don't be afraid. Don't make decisions out of fear. Make decisions that are led by the Spirit of God. And as you make those decisions, God will be with you and is with you. Do you realize that when the storm was happening, Jesus was walking to the boat? It's different today. You say, what are you talking about? It's different today. Where does Jesus live now? He's with you right now. He doesn't have to catch up to you in the storm. He's with you in the storm through the Holy Spirit. There are times you just have to stop, look up to heaven. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And you know something? He hears. You'll make it. I'm going to close with this. Just a question. Everybody look at me. How many of you ever had a storm years ago you didn't think you'd make it through? How many of you here today? How many of you made it through? Loretta, you did. Yeah, we did, didn't we? We made it through. We didn't crash. God was there. And even if you weren't serving him then, you made it. So you know something? You are more than conquerors. You're not wimps. You're warriors. You're powerful in the name of Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely, radically nothing, that can destroy you if you stay with Jesus. Nothing. Paul says, I'm determined that life or death, nor things to come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you're going to walk it out with Jesus, that's the only place to be. Just keep walking, keep looking up, keep praising, and God will get you through. But you know something? He's going to more than get you through. What did we sing today? I went to the enemy camp and I what? The Bible says, if the thief is caught, how many times, Kirk? Seven times, sevenfold he must restore. We know who the thief is. If he stole things from you, demand. Demand in Jesus' name that the thief restores. Amen?